Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Karam Singh is the executive director at Corruption Watch. We wanted to check in and get some feedback and analysis on the president's speech last evening. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Can you give us a sense of, well, your thoughts as to the speech last night, the contents thereof?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think from the standpoint of the anti-corruption message, I think it was good to hear, and good to hear the acknowledgement that, you know, there's a recognition that we're moving into a potentially dangerous area here. You know, we've seen previously, particularly with the COVID-19 response, that it's a real corruption vulnerability when we have these natural disasters and all these funds get mobilized to address various issues. If we know that we've got a very weak procurement system, and we know that we need a coordinated preventative approach to trying to figure out how we can avoid fraud, corruption, and the kind of looting that we saw. Obviously, the president's comments were very general, you know, and there wasn't a lot on detail. So it's really for us now to kind of follow up on this. But the message was right. We're going to have to now see, you know, some kind of action that's commensurate with that rhetoric.
The problem is we've heard this before, and I know that many of us, myself included, somehow want to believe him. And when he says it and he speaks about corruption, I'm grateful that he's doing so, because at least he's naming it so we can tame it. But is he actually able to manage his own teams? We certainly don't have a great track record here.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Howard. I mean, I think that's right, and I think that's why we're right to be so skeptical and to be, you know, raising red flags already. You know, I mean, that the corruption hasn't even happened, right? And we're already calling it out. I think, you know, KZN is a particularly difficult area, I think, for the president. And if you talk about him having control over all the levers, I think that one can raise questions there. But there is quite a bit that he does have in his control. You know, he's got a Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation directly under him. You know, he's got the leverage to engage with people like the Auditor General, with the private sector, with the Solidarity Fund, you know, even at Parliament with SCOPA and with the provincial SCOPAs, to mobilize kind of all these different forces to say, you know, we're going to do this right. You know, there's going to be proper monitoring in place. There's going to be proper controls in place. And when things go wrong, we're going to react quickly, as opposed to, you know, well after the fact when the money's already gone. So there are things that he doesn't have in his control, but there's certainly things that he does have in his control.
I just keep thinking of the level of evil that it takes to steal funds that the poor need. Not only that, but knowing that the damage that this is doing to the entire country, to reputation of government. And again, we saw it with COVID-19 funds. We haven't seen decent resolution when we see the ethics, or the so-called ethics committee, and I think we do have to now put them in inverted commas, finding no wrongdoing there. What hope is there, really?
Well, I mean, we can't be completely despondent. All we have to do is continue to push for the types of reforms and the type of systems that we know we're capable of putting in place. So calling for greater transparency, calling for mandate holders and for oversight bodies to exercise their role, I think is critical. I mean, the ethics committee, you know, I mean it's obviously an outrageous decision, you know, and we're going to continue to have this kind of muddied water when it comes to corruption until there's a real kind of unified approach. And I think you're right to be skeptical, and you're right to kind of question the variability in the political will. You know, so the statements, the right statements come at the right time, but then it's not followed up by action. You know, as for the kind of moral, kind of ethical question, you know, corruption, This is how corruption functions. You know, it functions on being able to prey on kind of the most vulnerable situations.
We've seen this
continuously in our country.
What I find fascinating as well is if you look at how people live within in South Africa, we are in a situation where people have outsourced education to private schools. They've outsourced medical care to the private sector. Security very much the same way that people have security, private security in all of their homes. And now we're almost seeing a parallel charity industry or developing where people are saying, no, I'm not going to give money to government to support the vulnerable, but I'm going to find organizations like Gift of the Givers and all sorts of others where at least I know that the money that I'm giving is going to be used for the right purpose, as in all of these other cases. To me, this is almost just that next step where we're seeing the, in inverted commas, privatization of our charity work. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's this kind of a dual society, you know, where some are dependent upon a very dysfunctional social welfare state on the one hand, and then those that can kind of buy into a kind of alternative system. You think about healthcare, you know, generally. Is a real problem for our country, you know, and it feeds into the kind of inequality that we have. I mean, it almost feels at this moment that we're at one of the lowest moments when it comes to thinking about what the state can do as an agent for development. There was this kind of notion of the developmental state and the social welfare state. That's why we have a constitution with socioeconomic rights that are justiciable, you know. So I think it's problematic, but it also just speaks to the trust deficit. So Gift of the Givers has an outstanding track record, you know. I mean, there have been issues over the years with the Red Cross and the Red Crescent. I mean, no public-private body has been completely impervious to allegations of corruption, but we know the Gift of the Giver has an incredible track record, and it's not surprising to see polls out there where people say, I would feel more comfortable giving my money to them. You know, this is why we also have a tax revolt, and why people say, you know, they're concerned about continuing to pay their taxes in a context where they don't know where the funds are going to go. It's a dangerous moment, Howard, and I think the state needs to come to the party. You know, I mean, if the state can't provide basic services in these types of moments, then it's very close to a failed state.
Absolutely right. Karan Singh, Executive Director at Corruption Watch, doing incredibly, incredibly important work. Just keep doing what you do, and I look forward to the time that we don't need to speak to you, and that organizations such as yourselves don't need to exist, but I'm not sure that that'll happen in the near future. Karan Singh, thank you as always.